Well, Happy New Year. Hopefully 2023 will be better than 2022, 2021, and 2020. I don't feel like we've made a lot of progress since then, but I'm really hoping that 2023 is a better year. We're going to start with a couple quotes. Oh, I got to turn it off. Now we're going to start with a couple quotes. Abraham Lincoln, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I'll spend the first four sharpening the axe. Stephen Covey, he's the writer of the, I think it's called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. One of his famous quotes is, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The first things are typically important. Many times if something is first, it's the most important. It's kind of like kids. First one's the most important. Second one, a little less. Third one, a little less. I'm just joking. I do say that at work, though, because we'll have a new mom, and she'll love her baby, and I've kind of had a lot of emotion ripped out of my life just dealing with people so many years in the pharmacy. And so the first one, I'm like, you know, congratulations. That's great. And then they have the second kid, and I'm like, so you're still going to take maternity leave? It's the second one. It doesn't count as much. But they some people don't think I'm joking on that, so I kind of have a reputation at work. But of course I am kidding, though. I mean, all kids are important. But kidding aside, sometimes the first thing may not be the overall most important thing, but it is important that the first thing is done first. And I'll give you some examples. Me and my buddy recently did some wiring at my house. We put in some plugs, some lights, a switch, a breaker. It's very important that we wired everything correctly. But it's more important that first we cut off the power. If an engine stops running, first check to make sure it has gas in it before you start tearing the engine apart. First thing you do when you get in a vehicle, put on a seatbelt. Before you shoot a deer or duck, you better make sure your gun's loaded. And if you're at my house, in most instances, before you bring that gun back in the house, you need to first unload it. Now, failure story on first. When I was in high school, I played in the summer baseball league. Wasn't super important or nothing, but it gave us something to do, and it was pretty competitive. And we played with a lot of the same high school kids that we had with our high school coach, so everybody knew everybody. And we were in the middle of a game, and I was having a pretty good game. I was 3-for-3 at the plate, and we were winning pretty big. And so I go up to the plate for my fourth at bat, and the coach gives me the bunt signal. Now, I don't really have a problem with the bunt signal, but I was 3-for-3, and the kid was throwing up grapefruits. So I was like, all right, I see your signal, but I'm going to kind of do what I want to do. So pitch throws the ball. I swing, hit a screaming hard line drive right into the second baseman's glove. And so on my way back to the dugout, I don't think the coach even talked to me. He just pointed at the bench, and then he told somebody else to go to left field. And the coach knew I got the signal. He knew I knew what it was. He knew I ignored it. And he knew I ignored the first rule in sports. Do what the coach tells you. So with it being the new year, I'm hoping we can take a look through the Bible and find some first things that we can keep at the forefront of our minds in 2023. And hopefully with any New Year's resolutions or goals or habit breaking you plan to get done this year, hopefully we can look at some biblical firsts to add in there. First, we need to be thankful for others. Now, fortunately, right around now, it's kind of easier to do that. We probably just got to together with family for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, and hopefully society in general was a little friendlier than normal. But if you go through the Bible, you'll notice that basically everything we do relates to people. Sin often involves not being thankful for other people, whether it's gossip, envy, murder, whatever it is. Thankfulness often involves interaction with other people. Jesus was thankful for the faith that he saw displayed in others. And Paul was thankful for the support that he was given from other Christians. So it just makes sense that we'd be thankful for other people. Turn with me to Romans 1. We're going to start in verse 8. Romans 1 and verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I served with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." And turn with me to 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy 2, we're going to start in verse 1. "First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and 4. "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." Lastly, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father that your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Be thankful in 2023 for this church family. Be thankful for your personal family, friends, co-workers, community leaders, neighbors, hospital workers, grocery checkers, waitresses, school teachers, everybody that you're around. Thank them verbally. Thank them in your prayers, and thank them in action and deed. Be thankful for everyone, because even if you don't have a relationship with them, you have the opportunity for a relationship with them. And that relationship can bring both them and you closer to Christ. Let that be one of your goals for 2023. First, we also need to forgive. If we don't forgive properly, then we can't love properly. Forgiveness is related to love. That unforgiveness can fester inside of us, and it's kind of like we tell Jesus, "You can have all of my heart. I surrender the whole thing, except this little piece of bitterness that I'm going to keep for myself." We need to keep the main thing, because if we aren't careful, sometimes we can get distracted by doing what Jesus said rather than just being like Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew. We're going to spend a little time in there on this section. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, starting in verse 21. "You have heard that it is said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. And whoever says 'you fool' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Skip over to Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as 7 times. Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Then last here, we're going to look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness should probably hit home for a lot of us. We say that we forgive, but do we really? Do we really let go like we should? Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Isaiah 43:25, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more." Hebrews 10:16-17, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." I think we all know how freeing and comforting those verses can be when we internalize them to ourselves, when we look at the sins that we've committed against God and we know the forgiveness that we receive from God. Imagine if we could give those who wronged us the same grace and mercy that God gave us. First, we need to be humble. This can sometimes be hard because if you aren't careful, you kind of have to remember to do it. Unlike a lot of other things that we battle, the things that can cause us to be arrogant aren't necessarily sins in and of themselves. It's the power that we let it take hold in our lives that causes us to be arrogant. And we can lose our humility. It makes me think of the song by Mac Davis, "Lord, It's Hard to Be Humble." In case it's been a while since you've heard it or you've never heard it, here's a sample. "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. I used to have a girlfriend, but I guess she couldn't compete with all of these love-starved women who keep clamoring at my feet. Well, I could probably find me another, but I guess they're all in awe of me. Who cares? I never get lonesome because I treasure my own company." Now, that's what Mac Davis says. Let's see what Jesus says. Turn with me back to Matthew. Matthew 19. Matthew 19, starting in verse 28. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Look over to Matthew 20, starting in verse 20. "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before them, she asked him for something. And he said to her, 'What do you want?' She said to him, 'Say to the two sons of mine, say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom.' Jesus answered, 'You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?' They said to him, 'We are able.' He said to them, 'You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant, but is for those whom it has been prepared by my Father.' And they, when the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be the first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" Now Mark 9. Mark 9, starting in verse 33. "And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you discussing on the way?' But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, 'If anyone would be first, he must be the last of all and servant of all.' And he took a child and put him in the midst of them and said, taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me.'" This next year, spend some time looking inward. Check yourself, check your heart, check your reasoning, check your intentions. Check often to make sure not only what you are doing, but why you're doing it. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong of a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and I deliver my body up to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. First, we need to seek. This one's last because although it is a first, it's the most important first. If we can just focus on seeking God, then all this other stuff that we've covered will fall into place. As a matter of fact, if we work on the others without working on seeking God, then we're probably going to get the same response that those did in Matthew 15 and 8 when Jesus said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." But if we just say seek God, that's kind of like saying do better. It's pretty general. It's not a lot of direction. It's kind of hard to follow. So instead of just seeking God, let's strategically seek God. Knowing our faults, knowing our strengths, and knowing God's word, then applying it to our lives so it may grow closer to God. With each day, with each prayer, with each church service, get closer to God. We're going back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 31. "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Luke 9. Luke 9, starting in verse 57. "As they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' To another he said, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my Father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Yet another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home.' Jesus said to him, 'No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. First Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians, in case you're looking for a chapter 15. First Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." And so we don't completely ignore the Old Testament. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me." This next year, above all else, above your exercise plans, weight loss plans, budgeting plans, house renovations, whatever you got going on, seek God first. So starting today, let's keep first things first. Be thankful, forgive, show humility, and seek God. I want to do the thing that teachers used to do to me. When they would do a lesson, they would normally try to sum it all up in one statement so we could apply it easier and remember it easier. So the take-home point of today's lesson is, don't major in the minors. We're going to end where we started with a couple quotes. Both of these are from Stephen Covey. "The key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities." And my favorite, "Begin with the end in mind." That one has a lot of meat to it, if you think about it. First, I started this lesson with some examples. Then we made applications. Now it's time for the invitation. And although it's the last in the series, for some of you, it may be the first step. It may be the most important step. If you aren't a Christian, then none of what we talked about this morning matters. First, you need to be saved from your sins. To do that, you need to believe in God, repent of your sins, and be baptized. Then your soul will be saved. Or maybe you just want help from this congregation to commit to a better 2023. If you have any need, the people here can help you this morning. But first, you need to come forward as we stand and sing.